Welcome to Lilydale Radio, featuring topics about spiritualism, mediumship, healing, spirituality, and the Lilydale Assembly, the world's largest center for the religion, philosophy, and science of spiritualism. This is Lilydale Radio.
Hello, everyone. Here we are for Lilydale Radio. The name of my show is called Embracing Your Essence, and I'm Colleen Vanderzijden, the host of the show. I'm so happy you're here watching and listening today. I've got an interesting show planned out. But before I get to the topic of the day, which is unconditional love gone wrong, we're going to talk about some other things. Now, if you're looking for information about Lilydale Assembly, the largest spiritualist community in the world, you can find information on lilydaleassembly.org, and you can see everything that's going on there. There are going to be some winter workshops, but they haven't been posted yet, so you can look forward to that. I know sometimes people ask me if there are any mediums around during the off-season. The off-season would be from Labor Day until about the end of June, and yes, there are mediums who are still there, and many of them do live in Lilydale year-round, and the rest of the mediums are available by telephone, Skype, or FaceTime as well. So if they're traveling, they can still connect with you. It's a wonderful thing. Now, we do have, of course, just recently we had that awesome show with Lisa Ling on Sunday night, and if you missed it, I'll be posting a link once it becomes available. It's not up yet, but Lisa Ling did her show, This Is Life, and profiled the medium of Lilydale. So that was pretty cool. It was on Sunday night, and I got to see myself for the first few seconds of the show because I was the first person they actually profiled a little bit. I was just there. It was kind of like 10 seconds or something as I was doing a bit of a reading with someone. And then they followed three people with different stories. I thought the show was very interesting. And they profiled Sharon Hill and Willow White and Janice Dreschman. And I thought it was just so fun to watch. Of course, I knew a lot of the people in it, but I thought it was very interesting and it made me want to keep watching, even though, because I didn't know the ends of the stories either. Now, they were in Lilydale last year, 2017, and filming for a whole week. They must have had, well, we would have called it miles of video recording years ago, but now it's all digital. So they must have had gigabytes and gigabytes and gigabytes of data and film that they did. So it was very interesting to see how they ended up editing some things, you know, because for my reading, it was a full reading, and they had also interviewed the person I was reading. They had interviewed him at the stump, but there wasn't any of that wasn't in there. And I understand some of Janice Dreschman's reading was left out, too, was edited out as well. But she had brought in the grandmother. She brought in names and all sorts of things. So it was quite the show. And if you haven't watched it, I will definitely be sharing the link soon. Now, you can connect with me at ColleenVanderZijden.com or, for the easy one, PsychicMediumColleen.com. And that you can find out everything that's happening. I just completed a weekend away doing demonstrations of mediumship, and that was so much fun. I just connected with some awesome spirits and some awesome physical people as well. Now, we are going to talk today about unconditional love gone wrong. And if you haven't watched the show, what normally happens is I will talk for a good 25 minutes. So if you're on hold, be patient. And then I will take callers. So I talk for a bit first, give an idea that we can think about, something we can use to make our lives better, because that's my thing and I love to do it. And if you want to call in a little bit, and you can stay there if you're on hold, it's all good. You can call in if you want, have a spiritual question, a metaphysical question, something you want to address, you want to learn about something. You can talk about the topic of the day, and you can talk about, we can come up with some strategies for you if you're having some problems in your life and you want to take care of them. And you can also call in for a brief mediumship reading. On the radio, it's a little different because I don't have you in front of me and everything like that, and I don't have a lot of time. Though if you've watched me before, you know I do talk a lot, and I will just keep going if that's the case. Hi, Tammy. Thanks for watching. Nice to see you. So what we're going to talk about, unconditional love gone wrong. Now, what is that? We all think we know what unconditional love is. And in some ways, I think we have this, I don't even know how I want to put it, some kind of a glorified version of it in our heads. that unconditional love is where we love people no matter what, which is part of it, yes. But sometimes what happens is in unconditional love, we kind of step over some boundaries or we kind of put up with things we shouldn't put up with because we think we should love somebody so much that it doesn't make a difference how they behave or act. I was reading an article a little bit earlier about unconditional love and the history of it. And years ago, when parents were raising their children, they had a more conditional love. And it was a love, if you have to act right, and then we will show you our love and that kind of thing. And then it kind of evolved through the 60s, you know, the free love time there, where everybody, we want to love everybody, no matter what, no matter who they are. But sometimes with unconditional love, we do have certain expectations of how love should be. And sometimes we sacrifice ourselves when trying to offer unconditional love to people, thinking that's something we should do. But unconditional love is without condition and it is without requirements. It's a very interesting idea of allowing people to be who they are. Hi, Mark. Thanks for tuning in from Seattle. How exciting is that? We want to love somebody based on who they truly are, not based on their actions or their achievements. But in that case, we do have to be clear about our expectations, our boundaries, those things, which I will talk a little bit more about in a minute. But life, being life, has a lot of conditions. We have consequences. We have consequences for our actions. We have consequences for our beliefs. We have consequences for all sorts of things. And there is an accepted norm in society that we should act a certain way, that we can't just do whatever we want and still have all this unconditional love coming at us. When I was thinking about this unconditional love gone wrong, I have a couple of stories just to kind of start us off here. There's different ways it can go wrong. One is with parenting, and then, of course, we have unconditional love in a relationship, romantic relationship, and you know how that's going to go. Hello, Marla, and here's Marla from Maryland, and we have Crystal from Hamburg, New York. Thank you all for watching. So I'm Colleen van der Zijden. I am a registered medium at Lilydale Assembly. I'm also a certified spiritual life coach, and I help people basically handle their problems so they can have a better life. And this is Lilydale Radio, and the name of the show is called Embracing Your Essence. The essence of who you truly are is what it's about. Now, parenting with unconditional love. Oh, such an interesting thing, isn't it? When we raise a child, we love our children. We love our children so very much. We raise them. And if we do it correctly, and I can tell you that I didn't do it so correctly at times, but if we do it correctly, we're raising them to become responsible adults, correct? Yes. So, but we can sometimes fall into this trap of not stopping to take care of them. That's a really bad sentence. So as they're getting older, we continue to take care of them. We want to make life easier for them. We want to take away their pains. We want to take away all of these things. And we try to protect them from the problems of life. And as you know, we all have problems, challenges, issues, concerns, difficulties, sadness, grief. We all have those things. And we want to protect our children from that as much as possible. And sometimes we can run into a problem with unconditional love gone wrong when we protect them to such a point that they never learn how to deal with their problems. They never learn how to self-soothe. They never learn how to self-soothe when they're feeling sad or upset about something. You know, and as parents, we want to jump right in. We want to fix. My children are older now. My daughter is 22, almost 23, and my son is 25, and still I can feel myself wanting to jump in and get into things like this. And when we have this unconditional love that goes wrong, we put up with behavior that might be mean or thoughtless or those kinds of things, rather than allowing the child to get the consequences of their actions. Now, my two children are totally different from each other. With my daughter, I could let her pretty much do whatever she wanted. She was always very responsible, very reliable. She would do what she was supposed to do, so she wasn't any trouble, which fit very well with my parenting strategy, which is do the right thing and it's all good and we'll just have a good time. It'll be fun. That did not work with my son at all because my son is more of a challenge. He wants to be in control of things. And he had a way of manipulating, and I would allow him to manipulate me. because I just didn't know any better. I didn't know what I was really doing. You know, I was trying to do the right thing and trying to show the unconditional love. But yes, they do need natural consequences, which is what Walter is saying now. Yes, they do. They have to have their natural consequences. But we want so badly to help that we kind of step over that line so our unconditional love can go the wrong way. Now, what I learned and looking at myself is that I have a certain style of parenting, and that doesn't always work for everything. Now, I was a teacher as well, and I taught in the public schools for 30-something years. And it was always very interesting because I was lucky that I had the music students, the orchestra students. So they generally wanted to be there, and they generally would do what they were supposed to do. So it was kind of easy, really. And I didn't have to worry so much about discipline. But every now and then, I had to, I call it become a real teacher and have consequences and do everything I was supposed to do. And it would be difficult for me. So I'd try to be strict and stern, but that's just not me. I can't do it. Now, one of my students at school, and you will love this story because this is like one of my favorite stories. Her mother, now this is not for my class, but her mother would do her homework for her. So the girl would bring home all her work from school, and the mother would do it. The girl would come back in the next day with the homework done in the mother's handwriting, not even the daughter's handwriting. They didn't even try to work that out. And this kid wasn't learning anything. And the mom was teaching the child a couple of things. One, that she didn't believe the child could do her own homework. And two, that mommy is going to be there no matter what. Now, of course, it didn't take long for her regular academic teachers to catch on and make her do her homework before she left school. And I had a little bit of a run-in with that parent once because I wanted the daughter to do something she was supposed to do, and she wasn't doing it. So the mother called me up, and this is just a little aside, and started yelling at me and telling me I didn't like the daughter and I was so mean and all of this and all of that. After I got off the phone, I thought it was really kind of funny because I'm not known for being mean. So I thought, yes, maybe I was strict enough and it's okay. So it was very interesting. But this girl, the student, was never learning that she could do her homework herself. And that belief system that she's not good enough is going to follow her forever. So hopefully by now she's broken that. If you're just joining in, this is Lilydale Radio. I'm Colleen van der Zijden, and the name of the show is called Embracing Your Essence. And on my show, I'd love to do a little talk, a little topic about something you can take under consideration for how you can live a better life. And the topic today is on unconditional love gone wrong. As I'm thinking about this, how love can go wrong, I've gone through a whole bunch of things here for us. But sometimes what can happen is that because we're trying so hard to please others, we're trying so hard to be there for others. And I'm finding as a spiritual teacher and as a spiritual person, I've had some questions at times of where I cross the line from being spiritual and loving and where I might cross that line into unconditional love going the other way, kind of having it be a little bit too much, where I might sacrifice myself sometimes. And I had a client once who was talking about how her family was taking care of, or not taking care of, the family wanted her to take care of everything. Mind you, her children were all adults. They all had families now and everything. But they expected their mom to just drop everything and get over there all the time to help. They expected the mom to help with all sorts of things without any consideration for the mom having her own life. And these kinds of things. Now, for her, this mom, she was kind of stepping on the wrong side, if you will, of doing too much for them. She hadn't helped them become responsible, but she also wasn't standing up for herself either. So it wasn't quite equitable here, this relationship. Sometimes people will do things for other people expecting something back in return. I have a friend who will do something for other people, but then gets upset when they don't turn around and show this great amount of appreciation for what he's done for them. And I'm like, well, what difference does it make? Did you do it because you wanted to do it, or did you do it because you're looking for something in return? And so that's a little bit tricky as well. I'm reading what Walter says. Honestly, sometimes we show them our greatest love by allowing them to make mistakes. Yes, raising two kids, Walter says, and that is so true. So true. We have to allow people to make their own mistakes and see what happens. It's hard for us to step back sometimes, though, isn't it? I have another friend who is dealing with crossing into the line of enabling. She has somebody in her life who is an addict, and she's having a real hard time separating out what is acceptable, what the boundaries are, what we can allow to happen. And again, we're back to crossing that line and not knowing where our boundaries are. Another friend of mine is in a relationship with someone who screams at her all the time, just screams at her, doesn't seem to understand respect and respectfully speaking. And it's so interesting to see how unconditional love can be and come across. Now, Melissa is saying unconditional love is so subjective based on your own upbringing and environment. And that is so true as well. That really is, isn't it? And it's very rare that we grow up in this environment where everything we do, we're met with this acceptance and we're met with consequences of our own actions and stuff like that, because we're all learning. Nobody really teaches us how to become parents, so we learn as we go. And we might base some of the things we do as parents on how we grew up. And then some of our baggage can follow us through our lifetimes. And it's so interesting to watch how, as we become adults, we start to see these things about ourselves. Now, here's an interesting thing. With all those examples I was using about people who are being walked all over, or we're stepping over the bounds ourselves, are we showing unconditional love to ourselves? What is that really? Unconditional love to ourselves. Is that showing ourselves the love and acceptance of who we are and saying, you know what, you're doing a great job, you're doing the best you can, it's all good. But if we don't establish some of those boundaries, some of that idea of what is right and acceptable to us, then we're not really in that right place either. So it's a really tricky balance to find. And when we think we have to love people no matter what, and that's what many people think unconditional love is. You have to love people no matter what, which it is, but it isn't. It's tricky. So that doesn't mean, though, we have to put up with stuff that's not acceptable to us at all. And let's see, Walter, you're just full of wisdom tonight. We can do sometimes is give them a choice. They have to decide which way to go. So very true. Walter, I'm going to have you on the show. We're going to chat. It's awesome. So we can lose our sense of self when we feel like we need to love people like that. We're not showing the love to ourselves. We might be denying our own needs, and which will end up creating resentment. And we may not understand that we've moved into that place of resentment until we start, every time somebody says something, you can hear that voice in your head going, oh, he's so stupid, or whatever it is. Do we allow people to have their needs supersede ours? Do we even know what we want? What is acceptable for ourselves? Do we know what our boundaries are? I was always a struggler with boundaries. I don't know why. I guess I just never realized it. And I was not good with it. I didn't know what was acceptable to me. And once I started to figure that out, everything kind of changes a little bit and it makes it easier to stand in your power. Let's see what Melissa has to say. As a society, for so long, loving yourself was being self-centered. Only recently was loving yourself something deemed valuable. Oh, yes. So true. When I was doing that mediumship thing this past weekend, I was talking to the other mediums who are working with me. And we were talking about how it was all about me. But now the society is turning into a we society where we're trying to all come together. That's a whole other topic. I won't go there. But that's what needs to be happening right now, is we need to be recognizing ourselves in other people. We need to be recognizing that we are all a part of a whole. And we need to be sharing that love in a positive way, a positive, healthy way. And getting ourselves all back together and being concerned about how we put ourselves out there to people, being concerned about how we react to situations we don't agree with, being concerned with how we react to people that we don't agree with. And this is such an important, timely message right now, as I'm sure if you're from the United States, understand. And we have to see how this goes. sometimes we can get stuck in our righteousness and we forget that we are talking to people and that this love that we have for ourselves and for other people is very necessary to share in a very good way and a healthy way. When speaking of boundaries with this, people taking responsibility for themselves. Taking responsibility. And yes, you have to be aware of who you are and you have to be aware of what your needs are. But that doesn't mean you're this island off by yourself and you're not interacting and interconnected with other people. That may be one of the most important things I've ever said right there. So I always talk about being true to yourself, talking about being who you are. But yes, you are here living in a physical world, as spiritual beings in a physical world, and you're supposed to be having a good time with life. That's why you're here. You're supposed to be having fun. You're supposed to be doing the best you can. You're supposed to be learning. You're supposed to be experiencing life. If we were meant to go sit in a cave for, you know, our whole lives and just meditate endlessly, we could have just stayed on the other side and just done it over there. But we are here living in this lifetime. So we want to make sure we're experiencing it fully and completely. And part of that is as loving ourselves and loving other people in a healthy way with those boundaries, but yet with acceptance and accepting that people are the way they are and not being a jerk because you don't like the way they are. Okay. Now, if you have to tell somebody what's going on, that they've crossed a line, they're not meeting your boundaries or whatever, you've got to recognize that you're going to accept people as they are, but also accept that they have to be responsible. They have to be responsible for their own actions, their own beliefs, their own issues, their words. They have to be responsible for that. In this day and age where people think they can say anything with no awareness of how it affects other people. That's not very good. That's just not very good. And when we want to help other people, we've got to accept ourselves and love ourselves as well. I want to see what Tyler's written. It depends on one's environment. When I'm in Lily Deal, I feel so loving because I love and positively flourish there. But when I leave and have to go back home, I don't feel as loving. Yes. And such a good point as well. I love you guys making all these comments. It's awesome. When we are in a place like Lilydale, or we're in, you know, sometimes when I go to a workshop or teach a workshop and it's just everybody's supporting each other, everybody's there for each other. And you can feel that energy and the energy shifting and you start to really feel wonderful and it's so much fun and it's so empowering. And when I'll do a meditation, I'll lead a meditation in a workshop, we'll have the most profound meditation. And I always warn people, when you go home, it may not be this profound right away because all of our energies were merging and were making us even more truly the loving beings that we are. So that's what's going to happen. So if you can know, though, that that's what you are inside, you are that true loving being inside, you can take that out into the real world and find that, what Walter's saying, it's a balancing act. You can find that balancing right there and just see how it goes together. If we love people unconditionally, but still allowing them to have their natural consequences, still allowing them to be responsible for their actions and words, everyone actually ends up living a better life and experiencing everything on a higher vibrational plane where we can really make those connections, which are so, so important. I feel spirit, but it's like a heavy feeling. Now, that's an interesting thought. Michelle, you definitely should visit. I'm going to back up to the spirits thing, and then I'm going to go on to talk a little bit about how you can build up your unconditional love in a healthy way inside yourself. And then we'll take some callers and see what else. Now, it's interesting that Roxanne says she feels spirit, but it's like a heavy feeling. I would like to know more about that. When I connect in with spirit, I tend to feel a lot lighter. I'm not saying you're wrong or I'm saying I'm right or anything like that. So I'd like to know more about that. So message me some more. Melissa saying, I love how you mentioned energy. I feel sensitive to others' energy. And there are people I like and love, but feel as if I can't be around them. They themselves have no boundaries. Exercises. Oh, yes, yes, yes. And that is something that we should talk about, too. Because we can love somebody, but not be with them. and we can love somebody and leave them. And we can love somebody and go, you know what? I love you so much. I'm not giving you what you need. It's time for you to go. I'm sorry. I love you. Got to move on. You can do that as well. And that can be hard for people to do. And I think it's hard for more aware people in a way, spiritual people, because we have that kind of ingrained in us that we've got to love everybody no matter what. And we're so used to sacrificing ourselves to help other people, which isn't healthy. But we're so used to doing it. Sometimes we forget to do that. And it's not a good thing. So there is nothing wrong with not being with somebody or near somebody who drains you. You can still love them. I love my son dearly, but I can't spend very much time with him because he can be a challenge still at 25. So I just can't spend that much time with him. He's a great kid. He's got some really good ideas, but, you know, there you go. Okay, Roxanne, I kind of like a drain or strain on your shoulders. Interesting. Very interesting. So it's almost like you have a weight coming down this way. Do you feel like you're connecting in with higher level spirits, or do you feel like you're connecting into something more negative? Answer me that question. I'll keep talking. We'll go back and forth. We have our own little private conversation, but it's kind of fun, isn't it? So setting unconditional love for yourself so that you can love others in a healthy, good way. Be clear in your expectations of yourself and others. That way it's easier to set your boundaries. Know what you want. Know what you want to have. You are perfect just the way you are right now. Yes, I love to learn and grow. I love to improve myself, and I'm sure some of you do too. So that's great. That's not saying that you're not perfect and I'm not perfect. It's saying that we want to learn and grow. That's great. Part of the reason why we're here in this lifetime. So what do you want? Is there something you need to change in your environment? Is there something you need to change in your thought patterns so that you can be clear in what your expectations are and what you want? In relationships, sometimes we will not be in alignment. And this can be romantic relationship, business relationship, family relationships. We can all be not in alignment. And we need to work on making sure that we understand where we're coming from. I feel spirit more when something is going to happen, and I can't articulate why. Okay, when things do happen, it feels as if a million pounds have been lifted off my shoulders. Didn't notice this. Okay, I don't know if I should hit the see more and mess it up. Separate from a toxic relationship? Yes, definitely. My son is exactly exhausting. I'm with you on that one, Dolores. Could it be my husband and the stress I felt from his passing? I've had this for 3 years. Okay, I'm going to digress from my plan, people. Don't worry, people who are on hold. I'm coming to you. After we've lost somebody, there's a hole in our energy. There's a hole in our heart. There's a hole in our mind. And it takes a while to refill that. And sometimes what will happen too, I don't feel like it would be your husband's spirit coming down and weighing on you. If you feel this before something's going to happen, and I'm assuming you mean something negative is going to happen. I was just talking to somebody about this the other day. When I first started out, it was easier for me to feel negative energy. I would get all these premonitions about bad things that were going to happen. And somebody told me, and whether it's true or not, I don't know. But somebody told me that negative stuff, it's a little bit easier to get through because it's a little bit heavier, that it will come in and to get our attention. And as Sharon Hill said the other night in the CNN show, we are aware of everything the whole time, but it depends on where we put our focus. All of the answers are there. All the information is there. But if we're not at that level to be aware of the higher vibration things, that can kind of get in our way sometimes. So know that the energy, you can shift that energy. You'll pick up, if you're sensitive, and I would bet you are, you will pick up other people's energies and maybe not even realize it's somebody else's energies. I personally do not believe in evil spirits. I know other people do, but I do not. So if I get that kind of feeling, that heavy kind of feeling, like an anxiety almost, I usually figure that I need to clear out some of my own energy, that I might be holding on to some things I need to let go of. So that might be something to think about too. Alberta saying, I always see very bright flash of light, like the day before something bad. Ooh, interesting. Now that's interesting. And I would anticipate that seeing a flash of light is spirit getting your attention and saying, yes, yes, pay attention to what's happening. we all have a different way of connecting to spirit. And Roxanne is saying she's very sensitive to spirit. And Melissa's saying she holds on to a lot. You guys are like me put together into two people right there, because I can hold on to a lot as well. And anxiety and things like this. When we are sensitive, we have to be very aware, and this kind of goes with unconditional love today very well, actually, so thank you for pointing this out, too. We're very aware of other people's feelings and sometimes need to get back into ourselves again, just get back in there and feel what we need to feel. And then we've also got to move into the trusting that Spirit, God, is going to be there for us. And is going to show us the way we need to go, that we are going to be led. We don't have to figure it all out. Thank God. Can you imagine? We don't have to figure it all out. All we have to do is allow Spirit, God, to lead us. And the person who gets that bright flash, that's a great way to get a message. Now, I may not get that kind of a message. I might just feel something. Somebody else might literally see Spirit. Somebody else might hear Spirit. I feel a lot in my body, as you probably know. So I might feel things in my body and go, oh, that means this, 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 and that will help me. I know before something bad's going to happen for me, my stomach goes and just clenches right up. And yes, Sarah, it is a blessing and a curse to be as sensitive as we can be. And if you're watching this show, in all likelihood, you are probably as sensitive as well. And there are so many different ways that we experience spirit. So don't compare yourself to anybody else. Don't sit there and say, oh, well, she watches or sees spirit and I should be doing that. No, if that's not what you do, you don't do it. Don't worry about it. That person who has the flash, that's really cool. I'd love to see a flash. I don't get a flash. I just get a knowing. Okay, so it's all different. How do you learn to do this? Are you talking about learning how to do mediumship, that kind of thing? Let's see, been having weird dreams lately. Is that spirit messages? Oh, my goodness, I could just go on and on talking to you guys all night. This is so much fun. Let's see, what do I want to talk about? Weird dreams. Sometimes dreams can be like visions. They can be like premonitions. Sometimes dreams are just wacky dreams. You will have dreams, though, that are strange and weird during certain times of energetic shifts. Sometimes people have those things happening during a full moon, sometimes during a new moon, sometimes when things are shifting within you. We are living, if you haven't noticed, in a very strange time right now where there's a lot of uncertainty. We don't know what's going to happen in our world here in the United States. We don't know what's going to happen. And we are reflecting a lot of that inside. And what happens when we are uncertain is we get scared, and that's when we are not very loving and kind. And so that's something to be aware of as well. So even if you're feeling off, you could be picking up on the energy around you. We are in this huge consciousness shift. I mean, gigantic. We're picking up on that. So when you feel like this, you get this anxiety, you wonder what's going on, don't put yourself down for it. Just say, hey, this is what's happening, and we're going to do the best we can to deal with it, and I'm going to ask God to help me and Spirit to help me. Dreams can be awesome because you can get some really good information. I do recommend, if you have not ever done this, is to keep a little dream journal. If you remember something, write it down, because there are ways to interpret it, interpret the dreams, and that I could do that a whole other show. Maybe I'll write that down, and maybe we can do that another time and do a whole bunch with dreams, because I have some really cool dream dictionaries, and I've had some really interesting dreams that have shown me where I was thinking wrong or what was going on in my life. I missed some of your comments, but that's okay. I'm going to just keep seeing one again. Oh, cool. Yeah, and you will get all sorts of different signs when you're connecting with spirit. And everybody can connect with spirit, okay? You don't have to be special to do it. You can do it. And if you're sensitive, you probably already are and you don't even know you're doing it. Such an interesting thing. This thing, talking about the love and stuff. When you're touching in with yourself, if you can, the whenever I'm having coaching clients or a coaching group, the very first thing I always do is to help them learn more about themselves. Because once you learn about yourself, you can see where your strengths are. You can also realize that where you've been putting yourself down, questioning your abilities, questioning what you're experiencing, is actually just a flaw in your thinking patterns at that time, that you're actually stronger than you think you are. And if you can connect in with yourself, you'll start to feel all sorts of things. You'll start to become more aware. I told somebody once, just to be aware of how their day went. Pay attention to how they were feeling and see what's going on around them. Basically, it's a day of being aware. You be aware of your interactions with people and how you respond, how they respond. You be aware of how you respond when somebody cuts you off when you're driving. You be aware of how you respond when you're scrolling through Facebook and you see something that just sets you off and you knew you shouldn't respond, but maybe you wanted to. All of these things, as they come into your awareness, it might be a fun little game to do just to see. Now, the trick with this, though, is you cannot judge yourself and go, oh, I can't believe you thought that. Oh, I can't believe you were so mean. Oh, I can't believe you said that. Oh, I'm so stupid. None of that stuff. You can't do it. You're just watching it. You're just observing it. And that's all you're doing. And that's a fun thing to do. Let's see. Talking. You guys have a lot to say tonight. This is so much fun. Dreams and white elephants. Oh, I don't know about that one. I don't know where my dream book is. I'm looking over there to see if I can see it. I'm down in my studio basement and I have all my books around me. I'm not sure if that's my dream book or not. Well, I'll make a note. White elephants. That way I won't forget. I know all these people are on hold, and here I am talking because we've got so many things to say. Create a language with spirit. Yes. Yes. And you, when I first started mediumship, I remember some of the teachers saying that we should come up with our symbols of what we wanted spirit to show us with our symbols. And I remember going, oh, really? So I'm supposed to like have a book and memorize, oh, if I see this, it means this. I see this, I mean this. See this. And I thought, I can't do that. Wouldn't spirit just let me know what I need to know? Wouldn't spirit somehow communicate what I need to know in a reading? That was my theory. But, you know, I tried that out for a little bit, and then I went to another workshop where they said, do this, 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 this. And then I was like, no, I'm not. And now I'm back to doing what I did originally, which is just letting the spirit direct everything that's happening. So there are certain symbols that I've learned as I've gone. So if you're open to allowing spirit to teach you, that's when you're going to really get it. And then you'll develop that connection to spirit where all sorts of things are coming to you. Yes, observe and release. Somebody, I always dream of walking away or running in the woods and feel like someone is watching me. Is that a good thing or a bad thing? If you're running away, that would be a bad thing. If you're walking and you just feel somebody watching, that's not a bad thing necessarily. It could be a guardian angel kind of thing. So, yeah, so you'll have all sorts of things will come through spirit-wise. For yourself. And back to that love thing, it is all having to do with unconditional love towards yourself and then how you're putting it out there for other people. And if you can love yourself, then you can love other people and still do it in a healthy way. And it's amazing, isn't it? I mean, really, when you think about it. What do you recommend for anxiety and depression? It feels like it controls me from living a good quality of life. Oh, that's such an interesting thing. Now, as a medium, I'm not allowed to diagnose nor prescribe, blah, blah, all of that stuff. But I can tell you what's worked for me, okay? Because I have gone through some periods of depression, and I know some people would go, really? I can't believe it because I'm always so happy. I didn't always used to be like this. I went through some periods of depression where it was very hard and I was very tired. And then I have gone through some anxiety over the past year. Because there's a situation in my life that is affecting me that I have not been able to resolve the way I need to resolve it and should resolve it. And so every now and then it'll pop in, that anxiety will pop in for me. And don't you think the worst is when we're getting ready to go to sleep at night, where all of a sudden your head starts going and you start thinking all these negative thoughts. And it starts to really drag you down. And what I started to do when that happens is I really pay attention to how my body's feeling. And what my intention is to see if I can feel my energy in my body. So if you're just lying there in bed and your brain is going crazy, just start paying attention. Pay attention to your breath. Then pay attention to the energy, maybe in your legs. Notice your legs and just kind of feel it and keep breathing. And as you're breathing, you can intend for more energy to go to your legs or your arms, wherever. And what might happen is you'll start to get this feeling of tingling maybe in your body. And that can give you something to focus on and get out of your head. So breathing and touching in with your body, okay? Whenever I get that anxious feeling, it goes right in here, right in my chest and in my stomach. And then I just keep breathing and going back in. And sometimes it helps to have a mantra or a repetitive phrase going in your head. I trust that all will be well. I trust spirit is going to be here for me. I trust. You can do the Hail Mary, Our Father, whatever. You can do these things as well, prayers. Repeat something over and over again. Because if you repeat something over and over again, you're replacing what's happening in your brain. I could go on and on about that too. And apparently I am going on and on about that. But there are so many different ways to get out of it. My biggest thing when I was depressed years ago was to recognize that the lower I went, the higher I was going to end up. So even though today I might feel horrible, I knew that I was going to come out of it and I would feel even better. And in some ways, now this is something you really want to consider, those of you who are struggling with anxiety or depression. What's happening is you are shifting your energy. You're shifting your energy. You're raising your vibration, and this depression and anxiety is, it might be showing you areas where you can release something, where you can move into a different area. It may be something that you have to change a belief system or literally have to remove somebody from your life. And so that may be part of it, that your vibration is shifting. If you can reframe that this anxiety is giving you information and leading you into a better direction to raise your vibration, you might be able to handle it better if you can reframe it. Let's see, depression played a part in my mom's passing. And depression too, and I do want to make sure I mention this. I don't want to make it sound like I know what I'm talking about because I really don't. I'm only basing it on my experiences. Because depression can be very tricky. Depression is very hard. Depression can, yes, of course, be caused by a chemical imbalance. Yes, it's okay to go to a doctor. Yes, it's okay to get medication and get the help you need, okay? So I'm not saying don't do that. Oh, my goodness, no. So you want to do that. You want to get out there and do what you need to do. But if it's a more mild case or whatever and you're not, you know, feeling really horrible, just consider the idea that it may be shifting your vibration and bringing you to a better place. And so we want to make sure we're doing that. Now, dreams, again, back to dreams. And I think what I'll do next week, why don't I talk about dreams? I'll look through some of the things you've commented on, and I will come up with some things. I'm actually going to a workshop, a mediumship workshop, tomorrow until Monday up in Canada with Andy Bing, who is an amazing evidential medium, and he's all about telling the story of the spirit, which is my thing. And so I'm going up there, and we're going to be studying that. So I was trying to think of what I would talk about next week on Tuesday, but dreams. Thank you for telling me what to do. I appreciate that, actually. So if you have other things you want me to talk about, just write them in the comments, because I do look at all the comments that people write, and I will make notes of things that you want to talk about. I've been a spiritual teacher for a long time, and I have so many things I can share with you that I would love to share if you want to hear it. Tiffany is saying, after my mom had taken care of her dad and he died, she developed the ability to see men, only men, who were terminally ill. There was a certain color around them. Ooh, she had to wish the ability away. Wow, very interesting. Very interesting. I tell you, that's a perfect example of how we can connect in with spirit in different ways and get into what's right for us without judging. Yeah, severe depression is horrible. Yeah, I know. I always feel bad when you're around somebody. I had a friend a long time ago who was very severely depressed, and it was very difficult because you wanted to help, but it's kind of they have to do their own thing. You know, they have to figure it out for themselves, and you can be there and you can support. And now there's a perfect example of unconditional love, isn't it? Oh, good tie in there. Unconditional love, being there as best we can. And I remember being there for my friend as much as possible and driving him to the doctor and driving him to the hospital and trying to help him. And we wanted to make sure he realized that people loved him. And that's what we want to be doing here in this lifetime. Besides loving ourselves, we want to love the people around us. We want to love people we don't even know. We want to put out positive energies. I truly believe this, that we can change the energy of the world by sending love out. I truly believe we can do that. And if all of you and all of us in this world who are spiritually minded in our own ways, and all of us who are here with compassion and empathy, if we were to share that, I truly believe we could change the course of how things are going right now. Judging is terrible. It's the indicator of my headspace, and intervene. Now, do you actually, Melissa, when you're talking about judging, are you talking about you judging yourself, or are you talking about you judging other people? Because I know when I used to be in airports, I don't know why airports, because I was a little bit uncomfortable in airports. I would be like the worst judger in airports. I'd be looking at people like, why are you wearing that? I can't believe you're wearing that, you know, and going on and on my head. But really, I was judging myself because I wasn't feeling as confident as they appeared to me. So isn't that interesting? So Melissa's saying judging both in herself and judging other people. Years ago, too, when I realized I was judging people as well as myself, I made a conscious choice to replace any negative words, any negative statements that I was saying, whether it was out loud or in my head. I wouldn't write anything in an email, for example. If I wanted to say something bad about somebody else in an email, I wouldn't do it. Because I thought, oh, that's just amplifying the energy, which it is. And this was more towards the beginning of my spiritual journey, so at least 10, 15 years ago. So I would do that and judge others all the time, and I would start, yeah, Walter, look at you go today. Remember, other people are mirrors, and they are. So if I look at other people and I see something they're doing that I'm judging, really I need to turn it back on myself. Yes, exactly. Melissa's saying she was bullied and judged as a kid. And when I am in a compromised emotional state, I do it to myself and others. It's how I know I need to breathe and just stop. Ah, Melissa, yay! Did you hear what you just wrote? You actually are taking this and have turned it around into a self-care thing. Isn't that awesome? You can see it. You understand what's happened. You understand why you are the way you are when that's happening because of your history, the things that have happened. We all have baggage. We all have stuff that's happened in our lives. But you've been able to take that and turn it around and go, hey, I'm judging somebody. Oh, I need to, you know, back up a little bit. I need to back up and get back into myself and make sure I'm not like that. And when we get tired or stressed out, of course, all those things can come out. It's perfectly normal, perfectly natural to do that. And when we recognize that we actually have the power to change our lives, we have the power to change our experience of life, that's when we can start taking some of these action steps and change our lives. Yeah, so you are accomplishing something. It's so amazing, actually. I love it. And to be able to turn it around. And the book I'm writing, it was going to be on self-doubt, but now what it is called is, the subtitle is Strategies to Handle Your Problems and Reclaim Your Joy. Because I have all these techniques, these ideas, these strategies that I use myself, and I've used with my clients all over the place, to help them recognize that they have the power to change how they're experiencing their lives. So if you have a certain problem, I probably have a strategy with try this and move into that. And if you can move into that mental state to try something else, that's when things will start shifting. And that's what Melissa is doing, because she's recognizing her inner working with this. And yes, turning a negative into a positive. Isn't that awesome? And that's what we want to do. And I'm sure you've heard this story, and this is just the weird example right now, about the time my pipes broke in my house in Lilydale. And I walked into the house, and literally Niagara Falls. I have never seen so much water coming out of a ceiling in my life. Of course, the ceiling was on the floor, but whatever. saw all this water pouring down. And I just remember going, okay, well, what can you do? You know, what can you do? But here's where I realized that out of everything comes something, comes a blessing. Because of the ceiling falling down, I found an extension cord plugged in above the ceiling in the insulation, plugged into something. I don't even know what was plugged into it, which wasn't plugged in the whole way. And if I hadn't found that, possibly, maybe the house would have caught on fire. Maybe. I don't know. And if a house catches on fire in Lilydale, you got a problem, because it's going to be a big fire, because it's going to be one house after another. So that was kind of a blessing. So taking that negative experience and turning it into a positive. And it is interesting, too. Somebody just said mind over matter. Well, mind over matter, that can be something, too, can't it? We got to be careful if we do mind over matter that we're not forcing, because we want to make sure we are not ignoring what we're really feeling, that we're not denying our needs, that we're not putting other people's needs ahead of ours, so that we understand. Now, taking mind over matter and going, recognizing that you can be empowered to change whatever is happening in your life. That's what you want it to be. Mind over matter in an empowered way. Don't force. I think there's a book out there called something about power versus force. I think that's what it was. And I started reading it, and I think I stopped. It's probably here somewhere. But there is that. And there is a difference between those things. We want to make sure. Yeah, easier said than done. But it is possible. It's definitely possible, because who's going to change your life except for you? Nobody else is going to change it. And that's just the way it is. And here I have talked so long, and all of you people have been on hold. I'm so sorry. Because we've just been going on and on with all these questions. I feel really bad now. What should I do? I've got 9 minutes, 8 minutes. Oh, my gosh. That's not even enough time to do like a reading. Pooper scoopers. I don't know. I guess I'll keep talking. I'm so sorry. Let's see. Easier said than done. I broke up. Okay. We'll talk about this. In my dreams, he's still my boyfriend. Yeah. Okay. Just keep asking. Keep putting the dream ones on there, and I'm going to write them all down, and I'm going to put them on a paper, and I'm going to tell you so much information. It's going to be so much fun. We will talk about dreams. Dreams are so cool. What I do want to do, though, right now, and I'm sorry, people on the phone, I'm so sorry. I didn't realize all the time had gone by that I was talking so much. What I want to do is I want to mention spirit that is on the other side. I'll just mention this person right away. I've got a guy here on the other side. He does come through on the taller side and on the thinner side. I don't normally describe them physically because we change so much in our lifetimes. However, that's how he is showing himself to me. He is giving me a problem in his jaw, okay? So I don't know who this goes to. It's either going to go to somebody who's here watching now, or will be watching later, or listening now or later. Okay, so he's got a problem with the jaw, and I'm wondering if there might have been some surgery in the jaw. I'm also wondering about some teeth issues down here. So I want to make sure I acknowledge this person. He's also given me the impression there's something wrong with his hip, okay? The way he comes in, he's got to be, gosh, at least in his 70s before he passes, and he's talking about wanting to acknowledge his daughter here. He says the daughter here had helped, and I'm not sure if it's still happening or it will be happening, but had helped. Oh my goodness. Sorry, something dropped upstairs. Shocked me to death. Okay, hold on. I got to get back in spirit there. Okay. That he said the daughter was helping with his wife, okay, and that the wife was a bit of a challenge. So that would be her mother, was a bit of a challenge. That there might be something going on in her head. That would be the mother, his wife, something going on in the head, okay? And so he wants to thank the daughter for helping with the mom, because he realizes it was really hard. I don't think the mother and daughter have a good relationship, but I think the daughter had a good relationship with the father. So if this pertains to you, just know that he's watching and he's thanking you for everything you did, because he recognizes it was very hard. Okay, so I just wanted to get that brief reading in, because I had this tall guy on the other side that I did want to mention. Let me see what Celine says. I really would love to understand how to handle people who try to make you feel guilty about taking time for yourself. Ooh, I actually did a whole radio show on my other station between self-care versus selfish. The big thing to remember is that no one can make you feel something without you letting them make you feel something. So people, if you feel like somebody's telling you, you should be doing something else, they're trying to guilt you out of their needs. In this lifetime, it's your needs. You have to work on your needs and what you need. And if you need to take time for yourself, then that's fine. A friend of mine was telling me about a friend of hers whose husband got mad at her because she was going to exercise and he didn't like it because she should stay home with him. Now, as a female, I'm going, I don't think so. And that's what the mom did. And this person did as well, this person. And it was really pretty interesting to think that. And so that's something I can talk about that a little bit more too. It's how we respond to people when they come back at us with comments that, you know, they expected you to do something, but you didn't want to do it. It wasn't in your calendar. It wasn't in your mind. You didn't want to. Melissa says, did she knock him out? That's awesome. from what I heard about her, I wouldn't be surprised if she considered it because she can be a little bit stubborn as well. And it's so interesting. Let's see, I'm trying to think of which strategy I would tell you to use because I do, whenever I feel like somebody else is trying to make me do something or say something or be somebody I'm not, I remember the Wayne Dyer quote. I think it was Wayne Dyer that said, somebody else's opinion of me is none of my business. And so I can kind of detach a little bit from that. They think I'm going to do that, but no, I'm not. And standing up for ourselves is so important. And Lovely just says, nothing is welcomed unless you first welcome it. Ooh, I like that, how that's put. Yes, yes. If you allow it to affect you, it affects you. Oh, I was talking to a client the other day. It was one of those clients that, and I don't get people like this very much at all. Like, I could probably count on one hand in the last 15 years I've had somebody like this who was not open at all to the fact that she could change how she's experiencing her life, that she didn't have to stay stuck in this pain. But she was choosing to do it and told me she was going to stay there. So I couldn't do anything to her. I was like, okay, well, have fun with that. You know, it's your life. You want to live it like that? That's great. You go ahead. So it's very interesting to think that people would choose to stay in pain or... And it falls along the line of allowing other people to affect us. And I know that's very hard, okay? I know I'm simplifying this in the interest of time. But whenever I did a whole show once, too, on, how did I put it? It was something like how to not let people bother you or how to not let people affect you. And literally, I talked for at least 20 minutes on this topic and with definite strategies as what you can do. I'll look that up too, and maybe we can do that one week. Let's see. I call it the Michaela Show because it was for a friend of mine named Michaela. So I call it the Michaela Show because she was having some struggles with people around her who were putting her down and really affecting her negatively. And so I gave her some strategies. So I love the strategies. And so that's kind of what I do here is just helping people open their eyes to a new perspective. Helping people open their eyes to a new perspective and helping them recognize that they have the power to change how they're experiencing life, that it doesn't have to be, you don't have to stay stuck in things. It's all on a choice. I keep my own house, although my significant other wants me to get rid of it, but I won't. I use it as my hideaway. Good for you, Celine. Good for you. Well, you know, some people really need their own space. I have to have my own space. When my first husband, he would go off in the evening for a rehearsal or something, and I was so happy I would have the whole house to myself, and he would get offended by that. So part of it is we have expectations of what we think another person should act like, and we have expectations of what we think we should act like. And sometimes it's just a matter of communicating and saying, you know what, I need my space. I got to have some quiet time by myself. And if another person gets offended by that, they just need to learn that that's the way it is, and that's part of it. So interesting. Yeah, I keep my house. Yeah. Well, yeah, that's another thing. We'll have to talk about that some more, too. There's so many things we can talk about, aren't there? It's so much fun. So I see my time is actually wrapping up. I'm so sorry, people on the phone. I feel so badly. Send me questions. Send me questions of what you want to talk about. Put them on my Facebook page. If you're watching, you know what my Facebook page is. And if you're not, it's Colleen Vanderzijden. Look for the whole name, Colleen Vanderzijden. And then it's followed with Medium and Self-Empowerment Coach, because I love to empower other people or help them become empowered. And but feel free to write on there, like, if you have something you want me to talk about. I know we've got lots of ideas from tonight. So thank you so much. You were so helpful. And it was so nice to be able to talk about all these things. And I can't remember, but it'll come to me. I think so. So thank you so much. I'm so sorry, phone people. I really am sorry about that. There was just, I don't know, I just had so much to say today. I know you can watch tomorrow morning is Willow White's show at 10 a.m. Celeste is on Thursday. Tomorrow night, Wednesday night, is John White. Call him there on Blog Talk Radio. You can call him there. And I will be on Willow White's show next week. We're going to talk about spiritual counseling through mediumship. So thank you so much for watching, everybody. I suppose I should stop talking, and because you know me, man, I could talk. Maybe I should have a longer show. Could you imagine